가까 사람이 아디아데 가세리 아디아데 우리 테나였네 마베니 아라카베 미타샹베라 코로나에베 삼사라바사나 코로나 베 삼사라 파자나 가베 주저리베 비샤야 자지야 카베 슈나 베
Yeah.
Prabhupada, Guru Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Hari Bol. Jai Om Vishnu Pad Paramahansa Paramahacharya Osya Kada Satishi Shimad His Divine Grace Avaya Chananada Bhaktivedanta Goswami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, ISKCON Founder Acharya, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Anantakoti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai, Namacharya, Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai, Prem Se Kaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda Sidvaita Gadadha, Srila Vasudeva Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai, Srila Radhakrishna Gopikopinath Sayam Kunda, Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Ki Jai, Vrindavan Ki Jai, Mathuradhan Ki Jai, Jagannath Swami Ki Jai, Yamunamai Ki Jai, Srimati Lalasa Devi Ki Jai, Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai, Gaur Premananda Hari Hari Bol. All glorious the assembled devotees, all glorious the assembled devotees, all glorious the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, my own Vishnu Varaya Krishna Prasthaya, Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Dinamani Namaste, Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharani Nivashesha Sunyavadi, Paschacha Deja Tarane, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So let me read the translation to this poem by written by Narottama Das Thakur. When will that opportune moment come to me when I shiver upon chanting the name of Lord Gauranga? When will I cry while chanting Hare Krishna? When will I receive the causeless mercy of Lord Nityananda so that my desires for material enjoyment become insignificant? When will my mind be purified of material anxieties and desires so that I can understand Vrindavana? When shall I be very eager to study the books by the six Goswamis so that I can understand the conjugal love of Radha and Krishna? The lotus feet of the six Goswamis are my only shelter. In constant separation from them, I remain Narottamadas. Narottamadas Thakur Ki Jai. So Om Ganata Midandasha Gananjana Shlakya Chakshur. Unmiditam yena tasmai shi gurave namaha. I offer my respectful obeisances under the lotus feet of my spiritual master, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, who kindly opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge while I was blinded in the darkness of ignorance. So we're continuing with our study of the nectar of instruction. It's a very, very important nectar in the Ba. Deshamrita by Srila Rupa Goswami. So what we do is we chant this one verse from the Goswami Astaka before we begin. Nana Shastra Vichara Naika Nipano Sadharma Samstapako Lokanam Hitaka Renev Tribhuvane Manyo Sutanya Karo Radha Krishna Padara Vinda Vajana Nantena Mataliko Mande Rupa Sanatano Raghu Yago Sri Jiva Gopala Kohu. Translation. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the six Goswamis, namely, Sri Rupa Goswami, Sri Sanatan Goswami, Sri Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, Sri Raghunath Das Goswami, Sri Jiva Goswami, and Sri Gopal Bhatta Goswami, who are a very expert in scrutinizing and studying all the revealed scriptures with the aim of establishing eternal religious principles for the benefit of all human beings. Thus, they are honored all over the three worlds, and they are worth taking shelter of because they are absorbed in the mood of the gopis and are engaged in the transcendental loving service of Radha and Krishna. So, that's wonderful. So, let us continue with our study. So, we're going to share the screen. All right, where is that? Okay, we got it. So we're in the middle of the purport to the third verse in the Upadeshamrita. And for those of you who are interested in the third verse of the Upadeshamrita, we're going to read it, or we're going to chant it again. Utsahan nischayaha dharyat tata karma bhavartanat sangha chagat sato vritte sadbir bhakti prasidyate. And so this verse lists the six principles that are favorable for devotional service, which are utsahan, being enthusiastic, endeavoring with confidence, that's faith, or just being steady, dharyat. Being patient, that's a hard one. Acting according to regulated principles, such as Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam. That's hearing chanting and remembering Krishna. Also, it means, that's right. Abandoning the association of devotees, sangha, chagat. And finally, sato vrittahe, following the footsteps of the previous acharyas and serving the previous acharyas. And these sadbir bhakti prasidyati, these six different symptoms or principles, prasidyati, they actually enhance devotional service or ensure success in devotional service. So remember that. That's the verse we're reading. Now we are reading the purport. So now the next paragraph deals with sato vritte, following in the footsteps of the previous acharyas or serving the previous acharyas. So in order to attain perfection in bhakti yoga, one has to perform devotional service. Actually, let me just change this window a little bit so I can see the chat in case someone asks something. Not that we want you to ask something in the middle of the reading, but sometimes there's a problem. One has to perform devotional service under the direction of the spiritual master in all phases of life. It is not that one has to confine or narrow one's activities. Krishna is all-pervading. Therefore, nothing is independent of Krishna, as Krishna himself states, Maya tatamidam sarvam jagadavyaktamurtinam atstani sarvabhutani naham teshvavastitaha. And of course, that's Bhagavad Gita 9.4. By me and my unmanifested form, this entire universe is pervaded. All beings are in me, but I'm not in them. Under the direction of the spiritual master, one has to make everything favorable for Krishna's service. For example, at present, we are using a dictaphone. If you don't know what a dictaphone is, that is a tape recorder that's used for dictation. And in the old days, Prabhupada had a dictaphone with like a circular belt on it. Oops, take my glasses off. The materialist who invented this machine intended it for businessmen or writers of mundane subject matters. He certainly never thought of using the dictaphone in God's service, but we are using this dictaphone to write Krishna-conscious literature. Of course, the manufacture of the dictaphone is wholly within the energy of Krishna. All the parts of the instrument, including the electronic functions, are made from different combinations and interactions of the five basic types of material energy, namely Bhumi, Jala, Agni, Vayu, and Akasha. That means earth, water, fire, air, and ether. And you don't know what ether is. Ether basically means space. It's not something that you breathe that puts you out. So earth means solid, Jala means liquid, Agni means fiery, Vayu means air. They go from gross to subtle, or more subtle. And Akash means just the space. Space. That's it. Space. The inventor used his brain to make this complicated machine, and his brain as well as the ingredients was supplied by Krishna. According to the statement of Krishna, Matstani Sarvabhutani, Gita 9.4, everything is dependent on my energy. Thus the devotee can understand that since nothing is independent of Krishna's energy, everything should be dovetailed in his service. So in other words, practically speaking, everything can be used in Krishna's service. That is called yukta-vairagya, the renunciation of using something in Krishna's service rather than giving it up, because if you give it up, that is falgu-vairagya, which means basically false renunciation, saying that here is something I could use for Krishna, and I'm not going to do it. It's false renunciation because Krishna wants you to do it. So the spiritual master engages the disciple according to their nature, what we call psychophysical nature. That means everyone has a body, everyone has psychology, and there's a specific engagement according to Varnashram that is most fit or best fit for your particular psychology and body. Some people are Brahmins, some people are Kshatriyas, some people are Vaishyas, and some people are Shudras. So everybody has to be engaged accordingly. Endeavor, so, you know, Brahman, of course, engages in presenting Krishna consciousness, doing sacrifice, learning, studying, everything like that. Kshatriya engages in administration, sometimes a little fighting there to protect others. That's what the word Kshatriya, Kshat means harm, Triya means to free one, just like the word mantra. The word mantra is composed of two words, mana and tra. Tra means to free you from the mana, or the mind. So that Kshatriya, Vaishya should be engaged in commerce, or in cattle protection, or in some sort of agriculture, and the Shudra, he has to work under the direction of others, because he's generally not self-motivated, so needs someone just like to be over him, basically. Or the threat of a salary, that if you don't work, no money. So the spiritual master sees, what is this disciple's nature? And keeping him busy, because if the disciple is not busy, idle mind is a devil's workshop. That means as soon as there is extra time, then immediately Maya can seep in. Like Prabhupada said, if you have a full glass, and Prabhupada gave the example, no ink can enter. So you have to keep yourself fully engaged in Krishna's service. And then there's no time for illusion. And that's full engagement according to your nature. Like if you take a Shudra and try to engage him fully in studying, it's not going to work. Even though he may have the ability to memorize things, it's not going to work because he's not going to be able to keep concentrated on it or be enthusiastic. So that's what utsahan, which we're going to talk about in this next paragraph. Utsahan means that one should be enthusiastic. So one not only has to be enthusiastic because he's serving Krishna, but one has to be enthusiastic because he's serving Krishna according to his nature. Like Arjuna and the Bhagavad Gita, or Arjuna in the battlefield, Kurukshetra, wanted to do something that wasn't his nature. He wanted to do what? He wanted to renounce Brahman type of stuff. So because it wasn't his nature, he wouldn't have been able to stick to it. He wouldn't have had that enthusiasm, determination, confidence, or patience. He wouldn't have had it. It wouldn't have worked. But if you tell him to fight, to protect others, for the whole Mahabharata war, he was super enthusiastic. So this is a very, very important point. To be enthusiastic, one has to be engaged according to their, what we call the psychophysical nature. Otherwise, even if it's Krishna's service, of course, if one's an absolutely pure devotee of the Lord, then one can do anything, even if it's not one's psychophysical nature. One can do anything and always be enthusiastic. Always be determined, always be confident, always be patient. But very few of us are absolutely pure devotees, willing just to do anything and everything for the service of Krishna. So therefore, there's engagement according to psychophysical nature. And even Arjuna was a pure devotee, had to be engaged according to his psychophysical nature. So that's an important aspect of utsaha. The devotees find correct means by which everything can be utilized in the service of the Lord. Nirbandha Krishna Sambandha Yuktam Vairagya Muchate. The execution of devotional service is not a matter of idle meditation, but is practical action on the foreground of spiritual life. These act, in other words, devotional service means to be active, doing what Krishna wants. Remember, we talked about that in the beginning. And also doing it with a mood of trying to please Krishna. These activities must be executed with patience. One should not be impatient in Krishna consciousness, because if you're not patient, you'll be passionate. Indeed, this Krishna conscious movement was started single-handedly. In the beginning, there was no response. But because we continued to execute our devotional activities with patience, people gradually began to understand the importance of this movement, and now they are eagerly participating. One should not be impatient in discharging devotional service, but should take instructions from the spiritual master and execute them with patience, depending on the mercy of Guru and Krishna. The successful execution of Krishna conscious activities requires both patience and confidence. A newly married girl naturally expects offspring from her husband, but she cannot expect to have them immediately after marriage. Of course, as soon as she is married, she can attempt to get a child, but she must surrender to her husband, confident that her child will develop and be born in due time. Similarly, in devotional service, surrender means that one has to become confident. The devotee thinks, Avasya Rakshive Krishna. Krishna will surely protect me and give me help for the successful execution of devotional service. This is called confidence. That's really important, which is faith. Faith that it will happen, even though it's hard to understand how it will happen, because we are so much engrossed in Krishna's material energy with so many anarthas. Prabhupada sometimes explained that it's like cleaning the heart. Sometimes it seems like we're cleaning a piece of coal. Like you put some coal in the sink and you put some scrub it, and your hands just get dirty. It doesn't get, you're not going to get clean. As already explained, one should not be idle, but should be very enthusiastic about executing the regulated principles, tat-tat karma pavartana. Neglect of the regulated principles will destroy devotional service. In this Krishna conscious movement, there are four basic regulated principles forbidding illicit sex, meat eating, gambling, and intoxication. A devotee must be very enthusiastic about following these principles. If he becomes slack in any of them, his progress will certainly be checked. Srila Rupa Goswami therefore recommends tat-tat karma pavartanat. One must strictly follow the regulated principles of Vaidhi Bhakti. In addition to these four prohibitions, yama, there are positive regulated principles. We talked about the principles of yama and niyama. Yama means prohibitions of what not to do. Niyama what means what to do, such as the daily chanting of 16 rounds in japa mala beads. These regulative activities must be faithfully performed with enthusiasm. This is called tat-tat karma pavartana, or varied engagement in devotional service. Furthermore, in order to be successful in devotional service, one must give up the association of undesirable people. That's bad association. Sangos chagat. This includes karmis, gyanis, yogis. Karmis means people enthusiastic about material upliftment. Gyanis means people who just want to merge into the absolute truth. And yogis means those who want some yogic power or popularity by performance of the Ashtanga yoga system and other non-devotees. Once Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was asked by one of his householder devotees about the general principles of Vaishnavism, as well as the general routine activities of a Vaishnava, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu immediately replied, Asatsanga Tyaga, a Vaishnava Achara, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Majjhima 2287. So asat means temporary or material, sangha means association, tyaga means renunciation, a Vaishnava, the Vaishnava's Achara. Achara means behavior. So Prabhupada translates it here as, characteristically, a Vaishnava is one who gives up the association of worldly people or non-devotees. Srila Narottama Das Thakur is therefore recommended tandara charana sevi bhakta sevivas. One has to serve the devotees. One has to live in the company of pure devotees and execute the regulated principles laid down by the previous acharyas, the six Goswamis, namely Sri Rupa Goswami, Sri Sanatana Goswami, Sri Jiva Goswami, Sri Raghunath Das Goswami, Sri Gopal Bhatta Goswami, and Sri Raghunath Bhatta Goswami. If one lives in the association of devotees, there is little chance of associating with non-devotees. The International Society for Krishna Consciousness is opening many centers just to invite people to live in the company of devotees and practice the regulated principles of spiritual life. Devotional service means transcendental activities. On the transcendental platform, there's no contamination by the three modes of material nature. This is called Vishuddha Sattva. That means spiritual goodness. The platform of pure goodness, or goodness free from the contamination by the qualities of passion and ignorance. So in this Krishna conscious movement, we require everyone to rise early in the morning by 4 o'clock and attend Mangalarti or morning worship, then read Srimad Bhagavatam, perform kirtan, and so forth. Thus, we hold continuous activities and devotional service 24 hours daily. This is called Sato Vrite, or following in the footsteps of the previous acharyas who expertly filled every moment of time with Krishna conscious activity. So this morning program is extremely important. Now, for those who live in household life, it may not be possible to wake up by 4 in the morning. You can wake up a little later. But to have some sort of morning program before you go to work or before you proceed on your daily activities, because this really fixes your consciousness, especially when it's done during the time of what we call the Brahma Muhurta. Muhurta means a certain period of time of Lord Brahma, or not necessarily Lord Brahma, spiritual Muhurta. And activities done during that time, these spiritual activities are a lot easier to perform. I mean, for example, most mornings I'm up before 3 o'clock in the morning, and I'm chanting, and I get most of my rounds done before Mangalarti, which is really nice. It's just very enlivening and helps me focus on my service during the day and also on the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If one strictly follows the advice given in this verse by Srila Rupa Goswami, namely being enthusiastic, being confident, being patient, giving up the association of unwanted persons, following the regular principles, and remaining in the association of devotees, one is sure to advance in devotional service. In this regard, Srila Bhakti Saranta Saraswati Thakur remarks that the cultivation of knowledge by philosophical speculation, the collection of mundane opulence by the advancement of fruitive activities, and the desire for yoga cities, you know, in other words, I mean, that's pretty easy to understand. Yoga cities means power. Material perfections are all contrary to the principles of devotional service. One has to become thoroughly callous to such non-permanent activities and turn his intention, instead to the regulated principles of devotional service. According to the Bhagavad Gita, interesting verse, 269, Yanisha Savabhutanam Tasham Jagarati Samyame Yasham Jagarati Bhutani Yanisha Pashato Munahe. What is night for all beings is the time of awakening for the self-controlled, and the time of awakening for all beings is night for the introspective sage. In other words, this doesn't need to be taken literally. In other words, the life of a devotee considers what the non-devotees or what the materialists are doing is like darkness, night. And what the materialists think is that, what the materialists think is that when the devotees are doing is actually night, or not so significant. So let me explain. What is night for all beings, that means most materialistically inclined beings, is the time of awakening for self-control. Also can be understood to be during the Brahma Muhurta hour. So in the time of awakening for all beings, that means for those who are interested in Krishna consciousness, and the time of awakening for all beings, that is the normal beings, is night, is considered night, you know, and in other words, darkness, by the introspective sage, or introspective sage means devotee. Engagement in the devotional service of the Lord is the life and soul of the living entity. It is the desired goal and supreme perfection of human life. One has to become confident about this, and one also has to be confident that all activities other than devotional service such as mental speculation, fruitive work, or mystic endeavor, will never yield any enduring benefit. Complete confidence in the path of devotional service will enable one to attain his desired goal, but attempting to follow other paths will only succeed in making one restless. In the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is stated, one must be calmly convinced that those who have given up devotional service to engage in severe austerities for other purposes are not purified in their minds despite their advanced austerities because they have no information of the transcendental loving service of the Lord. In other words, it's a waste of time. Shrama eva hi kevalam. It is further stated in the 10th canto, although mental speculators and fruitive actors may perform great austerities and penances, they still fall down because they do not have information about the lotus feet of the Lord. In other words, there's no higher taste or higher pleasure. We are pleasure-seeking entities. We want happiness. We want pleasure. We want peace. Right? Tushanti cha ramanti cha. Machita magata pranas. Bodhyantas cha parasparam katiyantas cha mam nicham. Tushanti cha ramanti cha. Machita magata prana. The devotees are always chanting about Krishna, glorifying Krishna. Bodhyantas cha parasparam. Exchanging. Katiyantas cha mam nicham. Krishna kata. Tushanti cha. Tushanti means they're peaceful, satisfied. Ramanti, that means they are enjoying. In Bhagavad Gita 9.31, the Supreme Personality of God assures Arjuna Kunteya, Pratijanihi, Name Bhakta Panashati. O son of Kunti, declared boldly that my devotee never perishes. Again in the Bhagavad Gita, that's reassuring. 2.40, Krishna says, Naha Bikrama nashosti pachavayo navijite svapamapyasya dharmasya trayate mahatobayat. That's also encouraging. In this endeavor, there is no loss or diminution, and a little advancement on this path can protect one from the most dangerous type of fear. Prabhupada, when commenting on this verse, says the most dangerous type of fear is losing your human form of life in its life. And so, in other words, if one makes a little advancement in this life, then you keep that advancement, or you make a lot of advancement, you keep that advancement, you start from that point in the next life. It's a really important point. So we don't have to, there's no loss or diminution. That is very, very important. Diminution means basically diminishing, becoming less. Devotional service is so pure and perfect that once one has begun it, one is forcibly dragged to ultimate success. It's a fact. You're forcibly dragged. Sometimes a person will give up his ordinary material engagements and out of sentiment take shelter at the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord and thus begin the preliminary execution of devotional service. Even if such an immature devotee falls down, there's no loss in his part. On the other hand, what is the gain of one who executes the prescribed duties according to his varna and ashram, but does not take to devotional service? It's all temporary. Just like we said, there's no loss or diminution, but in temporary activities, materialistic activities, there's complete loss and complete diminution. Complete. Zero. Zilch. Ashes to ashes. Dust to dust. In other words, you can't take it with you. You can take your advancement, devotional advancement with you, but you can't take anything else with you. That's it. You cannot take any, well, you take your karma with you, but basically any of your material goods, whatever, you can't take with you. But you can take your devotional service. So even if you act properly in this world without taking a devotional service, it's all Shrama eva kevalam, it's a waste of time. Although a fallen devotee may take his next birth in a low family, his devotional service will nonetheless resume from where it left off. Devotional service is a haituki pratyata. It is not the effect of any mundane cause, nor can it be terminated by any mundane cause, or permanently curtailed by any material interruption. Therefore, devotees should be confident about his engagement and should not be very interested in the activities of the karmis, gyanis, and yogis. He shouldn't waste his time fruitless activities or frivolous activities. Like sometimes I've seen devotees, you know, play video games and things like that. It's all just a waste of time. You have to be very, very careful, because with every rising and setting of the sun, a day losses and you can't get it back. There are certainly many good qualities among fruitive actors, philosophical speculators, and mystic yogis, but all good qualities automatically develop in the character of a devotee. No extraneous endeavor is needed. As confirmed by Srimad Bhagavatam 5.18.12, all the good qualities of the demigods progressively become manifest in one who has developed pure devotional service. Because a devotee is not interested in any material activity, he does not become materially contaminated. He is immediately situated on the platform of transcendental life. However, one who engages in mundane activity, be he a so-called jnani, one who wants liberation, yogi, one who wants power, or karmi, one who wants material goods, philanthropist, one thinks he can help others materially, not considering that they have karma, nationalist, one who thinks his country is the best and just works for his countrymen, or whatever, cannot attain the higher stage of Mahatma. He remains a Duratma. Duratma means bad soul or cripple-minded person. According to Bhagavad Gita, and here's this famous verse about Mahatmas, Mahatma nastumam partha daivam prakritim ashita bhajantinanya manasho getva muthavyam avyayam. O son of Pritha, those who are not deluded, the great souls are under the protection of the divine nature. They are fully engaged in devotional service because they know me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, original and exhaustible. This is the definition of a Mahatma. Okay? Mahatmanas, Tumam, O son of Pritha, the Mahatmas, Daivim Prakritim, they have taken shelter of the divine nature, Prabhupada says, protection of the divine nature. Why is that? Because they're ananya, they have no other activity other than worshipping Krishna and thinking of Krishna. Bhajantyananya means that's it, they're always doing bhajan. Bhajan, of course, means serving Krishna with bhakti or love. And their mind, body, and words, manaso. And they know Krishna, gyatva, bhutadam avyayam, that Krishna is the original, and he's everything, and he's avyayam, inexhaustible. Since all the devotees of the Lord are under the protection of his supreme potency, they should not deviate from the path of devotional service and take to the path of karmi, of the karmi, jnani, or yogi. Karmi, of course, means when it wants material things, jnani means when it wants liberation, or yogi means one who wants some powers. And so this is called Utsaha Nishya Dharyatata Karma Bhavartanat. Enthusiastically executing the regulated principles of devotional service with patience and confidence. In this way, one can advance in devotional service without hindrance. And so we finished the chapter. So today we did the second part of the third, not exactly chapter, but the third verse in the Upadeshamrita. So we finished it. And should we start the fourth verse? I guess so. Now remember, the first two verses were like basically negative types of injunctions. The first verse dealt with one who can control vacho vegam, manasa krodha vegam, duva vegam, udopashta vegam. He controlled the tongue, belly, genitals, mind, anger, and words. He is capable of making disciples. In other words, devotees should endeavor to control these things instead of being controlled by those things. And the second verse was Achahara Prayasa Chavajopanya Mangraha Jana Sangha Chaloyam Cha Sabhirvata Vanashati. Also negative injunctions. Devotional service is spoiled by collecting too much, achara, over endeavoring, pajalpa, mundane talks, niyamagraha or nimagraha. Nimagraha means basically following the rules and regulations without a spiritual intention. Niyam agraha means neglecting the rules and instructions. Atyaharapyasascha. Pachalpa Nimagraha. Janasangas, taking association with ordinary materialistic peoples, jnanis, karmis, or yogis. So, Janasangas Chalalyam Cha. And the last one, Lalyam, is hankering for mundane things. So these spoil the devotional service. And so the third verse is more positive. So enthusiasm, patience, determination are positive injunctions. And I related these to the first two principles of yoga, yam and niyam. Yam means things that need to be given up, and niyam means the things that need to be done. So in other words, the first two verses of the Upadeshamrita are the yam or restrictions, and the next two verses are positive things. And so this next verse is actually extremely positive, dealing with what? Loving exchanges. Everyone likes loving exchanges. Loving exchanges between devotees, not mundane love. So, let's read text 4. We'll start text 4, and we'll get a little bit through it, and then we'll take questions. Dadati pratigranati guyamakyati prichati punte bhajyate chayva sadvinam priti lakshanam. So Dadati gives charity, pratigranati accepts in return, guyam confidential topics, akyati explains, prichati inquires, punte eats, bhajyate feeds, cha also, eva certainly. Sat vidam, six kinds, priti, of love, lakshanam, the symptoms. Offering gifts in charity, this is between devotees, actually. Loving exchanges, love and trust, as Srila Prabhupada said. Offering gifts in charity, of course they should be Krishna conscious gifts. I mean, you don't want to offer some gifts like, what would be a non-great, not, I'm not going to, yeah, like a bottle of liquor or something like that. Offering gifts, it's actually like something Krishna conscious, you know, something Krishna conscious like a Dudodi, Dusari, Tilak, or something that helps. Accepting charitable gifts, you know, the exchanges like that, Dadati Pratigranati. Then Guyam Akyati Prichati, secret, one revealing one's mind and confidence. Or inquiring from others confidentially. Guyam akyati prichati. Bhunte bhojyate chaiva. Accepting prasadam and offering prasadam between the devotees. And these are six symptoms of love shared by one devotee and another. Very, very important principles. Prabhupada at one point said, our Krishna conscious movement moves forward. People are attracted by these six devotional exchanges. In this verse, Srila Rupa Goswami explains how to perform devotional activities in the association of other devotees. There are six kinds of activities. One, giving charity to the devotees. Two, accepting from the devotees whatever they offer in return. Three, opening one's mind to the devotees. Four, inquiring from them about the confidential service of the Lord. Five, honoring prasadam or spiritual food given by the devotees. And six, feeding the devotees with prasad. An experienced devotee explains, and an inexperienced devotee learns from him. This is Guyam Akyati Prichati. When a devotee deserves prasad, remnants of food offered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in order to maintain our spirit of devotional service, we must accept this prasad as the Lord's grace, received through the pure devotees. We should also invite pure devotees to our home, offer them prasad, and be prepared to please them in all respects. This is called Bhunte Bhojyate Chaiva. Also, giving prasadam, accepting prasadam. Very, very important. Our prophet said our movement is kitchen religion. We move forward based upon distributing prasadam and taking prasadam with the devotees. Even in ordinary social activities, these six types of dealings between two loving friends are absolutely necessary. For instance, when one businessman wishes to contact another businessman, he arranges a feast in a hotel. And over the feast, he openly expresses what he wishes to do. He then inquires from his business friend, how we should act, and sometimes presents are exchanged. Thus, whenever there is a dealing of priti or love and intimate dealings, these six activities are executed. In the previous verse, Srila Rupa Goswami advised that one should renounce worldly association and keep company with the devotees. Sangat Chagat Satovrite. The International Society for Krishna Consciousness has been established to facilitate these six kinds of loving exchanges between devotees. This society was started single-handedly, but because people are coming forward and dealing with the give-and-take policy, the society is now expanding all over the world. We are glad that people are donating very liberally to the development of the society's activities, and people are also eagerly accepting whatever humble contribution we are giving them in the shape of books and magazines, dealing strictly with the subject matter of Krishna consciousness. We sometimes hold Hare Krishna festivals and invite life members and friends to participate in the feasting by accepting prasada. Although most of our members come from the higher rungs of society, they nonetheless come and take whatever little prasad we are able to offer them. Sometimes the members and supporters inquire very confidentially about the methods of performing devotional service, and we try to explain this. In this way, our society is successfully spreading all over the world, and the intelligentsia of all countries is gradually appreciating our Krishna conscious activities. The life of the Krishna conscious society is nourished by these six types of loving exchanges among the members. Therefore, people must be given a chance to associate with the devotees of ISKCON, because simply by reciprocating in the six ways mentioned above, an ordinary man can fully revive his dormant Krishna consciousness. In the Bhagavad Gita, it's interesting, simply by participating in these six kinds of loving exchanges, you can revive your Krishna consciousness. In the Bhagavad Gita 2.62, it is stated, Sangat Sanjayate Kama. One's desires and ambitions develop according to the company one keeps, Sangha. It is often said that a man is known by his company, and if an ordinary man associates with devotees, he will certainly develop his dormant Krishna consciousness. The understanding of Krishna consciousness is innate in every living entity, and it is already developed to some extent when the living entity takes a human body. It is said in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Mati Lila 22.107. Okay. So, we've got four verse, and we went up to this. Okay. So we can take some questions now. Let's stop sharing. And then we will unmute or allow you all to unmute yourselves if you want to ask a question. Okay. So you can raise your hand, type in the text window, or chat window, whatever you can call it, or unmute yourself according to the question you want to ask, according to the point you want to make. Who has a question and who has a point? Raise your hand or unmute yourself. Oh, nobody. There was one devotee who said, that's my favorite sentence in all of Srila Prabhupada's books. That means taking prasadam. That's natural. Taking prasadam. And prasadam attracted so many people to the Krishna consciousness movement. That's why Prabhupada emphasized that. In the beginning, Prabhupada was doing all the cooking and distributing and making all the rotis and the chapatis for everybody. And Prabhupada was just like serving everybody. Amazing. And Prabhupada trained people up how to cook Krishna in Krishna consciousness. So Gaura Hari, you have a question.
Maharaj, please have said my obeisances. So glorious to Srila Prabhupada.
Hari is the Prabhupada.
Yes, my question is nothing to do with the subject matter you discussed today, but it's more like regarding Lord Jagannath when he travels from Puri to
Pandicha.
Wherever he goes, I don't know, would you please tell me about it? Because I don't know the details, the trajectory, how far he travels.
Travels from the temple in Puri to the Gundicha temple. The Gundicha temple represents Vrindavan. And that's the whole story of the Rath Yatra. that Lord Jagannath, after the Snana Yatra and the 14 days where he's apparently sick, he goes on his Rath Yatra, and that Rath Yatra is to Vrindavan, because he's being dragged to Vrindavan, which is symbolized by the Gundija temple, by the residents of Vrindavan. And so that's... That's Rath Yatra.
And how far does he travel?
That's Rath Yatra. So, does that answer your question?
And how far? How far does he travel from...
It's a few miles.
From Puri to the Gandika.
Very short.
A kilometer?
I don't know. I don't know the exact distance, but it's not.
Oh, okay. I see. I'll try to find it because I looked it up in the online, but I can find it.
Yeah, you can just look up on the internet the distance. Yeah. Distance between. I'll just look it up now. Distance between Puri and Gundicha. A distance of 3 kilometers.
Okay, I see. Thanks.
3 kilometers. Those sorts of things you can look up on the internet. 3 kilometers. Okay, for those of you who don't know that. And so, thank you for your question. So, next question is Sumukh. You can unmute yourself.
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
Regarding today's topic, revealing confidential. So, what kind of things we can reveal confidential to devotees? And what is the purpose behind this?
Confidential means one's own challenges in devotional service. Let's say... let's give an example. Let's say you have a challenge that you're watching TV too much.
I do.
Yeah, you do. All right, so, but that's not so confidential. Because now everybody in the three worlds knows about it. So, you know, confidential would mean that you have some challenge. You know, you're addicted to TV, you're addicted to the Bollywood movies, or you're addicted to eating too many sweets, and you come to me and you say, Guru Maharaj, I have this challenge, this problem, you know, that I want to deal with. So Guru Maharaj, if that was to be me, which it is, will give you advice on how to deal with that, you know, overeating, oversleeping, you know, whatever challenges you have. And I'm not going to go on the internet and broadcast it. That way it's confidential. I'm not going to say that Sumukh has this problem. He eats too many sweets. So, and I put it on Facebook and all the social networking sites and TikTok. You know, I do a little video on TikTok about it. And then it's no longer confidential. So that's a problem we find with many devotees, is that we go and we may reveal our minds, and then we find out that everybody knows about it. And so, guyam akyati prichati means the confidential, trusting relationships, that we don't broadcast someone's problem. Like one time there was a sannyasi who left the sannyas order of life when Prabhupada was present on the planet. And there was another devotee who just broadcast it everywhere. And Prabhupada was more angry with the devotee who broadcasted it, because he said, you're making it difficult for him to come back. So if someone struggles and has some little issue, I mean, we're not talking about a big issue, like if someone is a murderer or some bank robber or something like that. You know, some little issue, like watches too much TV or surfs the internet for 15 hours a day, you know. You know, trying to figure out, anyway, whatever, you know, or looks at all the girls and thinks how pretty they are, which is kind of nonsense anyway, because it's all still bodies. Anyway, so, you know, bags of bile, mucus, urine, stool. So one of, anyway, so it's confidential. That's the main thing. You reveal your mind and confidence, and you give confidential advice. That's it. Okay?
Yes.
Does that answer the question?
Yes, Gurudev.
Yeah, no more internet broadcasting of anything like that. Okay, that's a very good question, Sumukh.
Thank you.
And anybody else have a question? We got 2 minutes. Anybody else have a question? Okay. I guess if you don't know anyone else, oh yeah, here's a question in the chat window. How is it that anybody in the human form of life has developed some Krishna consciousness? How is it that anybody in the human form of life has developed some Krishna consciousness? By the mercy of Krishna's devotee. And you're accepting the mercy. The mercy is equally given to everybody, but you have to accept it. It's like the rain. Rain falls everywhere.
What I was referring to was that there was a part in, like, very at the very end of the reading that said that anyone that is in the form of a human life has developed some sort of Krishna consciousness.
Well, there's awareness. You know, the beginning of Krishna consciousness is just awareness. I have to, let me just look at that at the end of the reading. Hold on a second, Dito. In the understanding, yeah, here it is. The understanding of Krishna consciousness is innate in every living entity. And it is already developed to some extent when the living entity takes a human body. In other words, there's some awareness indirectly of Krishna consciousness. You know, that one, for example, you know, some awareness that one doesn't want to die, that one wants to be happy. So there's, you know, there's some introspection there when one takes a human body. So it's innate, already developed, maybe it's 1/1,000,000% when the living entity takes the human body. That's what you were referring to, right?
Yeah, thank you.
Okay. And, you know, it's developed because one's consciousness at least is coming up out of complete ignorance, at least when one's not drunk. So, on that happy note, we're going to end the class, and we will see everybody tomorrow, hopefully, just pray. See everybody tomorrow, same time, same station. All glories to His Divine Grace. Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.